The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the latest edition of the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. I'm Adam Sager. He is Sean Salisbury. Again, you can find the show on Believe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I was looking, there's like literally like 15 different podcast platforms you can find this show and the other Believe shows on. I've not even heard of them. So it's just crazy how many podcast platforms.
Yes. Go to all of them.
Go to all of them and subscribe and listen. All right, Sean, we had a big injury in the NFL in the last day, and that is Tyron Smith of the Cowboys. He's had trouble staying healthy. You know, I was looking at his numbers. He was always 16, 16, 16, 16 about his first 4 or 5 years in the NFL. Then it was 13, 13, 13, and then it was 2. And then I think it went back to 13 or so last year, or 11, whatever it was. And now he's going to be out till at least December. Tore the hamstring off the bone by the knee, which sounds very, very painful. It just, you know, I've never done it, obviously, but it sounds very painful. This Cowboys team, they expect to compete not only for the division, for a Super Bowl, and losing your franchise left tackle, one of the probably the top three left tackles in football when he's healthy. It's a blow, and they have some options still out there. But just what is, if you're the quarterback, if you're Dak Prescott, what's your mindset that you know before week one or week three of the preseason, you just lost your blind side protector, the guy that you know when he's there, you're covered for 99% of the time. What's your thought process on that as the quarterback?
Yeah, Sags, and I can tell you that as you go on in your career, it's rare to start playing more games than less. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Once you hit the less to say, well, I'll go back to playing 17 a year. And, you know, as a Trojan, you know my affinity for Tyron Smith and how good a player he is. And he has been when he's at his best, he is a dominant player. Now, Dak's going to tell you we miss him, but here's my gut. We'll rally. Somebody will step up, next man. You're going to hear all that, but make no mistake about it. Hell, they're going to say the same things in Tampa. You think Brady's sitting home right now that he's back saying, oh, this shit's going to be easy? No. Once again, we go back to, like, you can't keep or you can't lose consistently players like that. Unless, of course, you got some stud sitting around like Alabama when they got a freshman that's as good as a junior just waiting because there's no space. Or a pitching staff that's got a minor league stud. Remember when Kopech, before he got there, Segs, in Chicago, just to talk about your guys, before he got hurt, but we got a 103-mile-an-hour fastball guy waiting to come up here. And when you're going through staffs, you're just waiting where there's room. Hunter Brown in the Houston Astros is going through that now. There's no space for him. So with this, you're not replacing Tyron Smith. And Segs, if they tell me it's a hamstring off the bone that he'll hopefully be back for December, you know what you're hoping on? Can he give me 2 or 3 games in January if we can get there?
Yes,
that's what you're hoping on. Because then the process of game football action. So Dak's going to tell you and the Cowboys all the right things, but there is no doubt they're going to go around and say, does Ali Marpet, you want to come out of, just like I'm sure Tampa, you want to come out of retirement? How do we get him? This is a blow to a team that can't seem to get out of their own way. Now, this is unfortunate because can't control this, but it is a devastating loss for the Cowboys because he is technique and he's consistent and he's good. And when he's healthy, he's dominant. And it doesn't just affect Dak Prescott, Sags. It affects the run game. And it also affects, do you keep a back in or now what if the guy's not as good as a tight end, got to stay in and help chip in passing situations. So you limit that. And then you just limit your depth. What happens if there's another guy who misses for 5 weeks, a center or a guard or a tackle that's out? It's a devastating blow. They're going to say the right things, but make no mistake about it. This is for both Tampa and their situation and the Dallas Cowboys. They're taking a step back at that position this year.
Yeah. And remember,
as we sit today.
Right. And remember that, You know, Lyle Collins moved on. He's now in Cincinnati.
That's right.
You know, this was an offensive line that was considered the best by pretty much everybody year in, year out over the last, you know, 5-6 years. But a lot of those guys are gone. The only guy that's still there is Zach Martin. Along with Teron Smith. And, you know, so I'm going to throw two options at you. You mentioned reaching out to Marpet and seeing if he would be willing to come out of retirement. My feeling there is if he's not doing it for the Bucks, I don't think he's doing it for the Cowboys. Right.
Unless they overpay, right?
Exactly. Right.
But I don't say, because I don't know what the rules are, but if Marpet was still under contract when he retired, don't the Buccaneers, if he were to come back in a certain amount of time, don't they have to agree to let? So I'm assuming there's a process. So that seems to be he's done. So what are your options you're talking about if that's not the case?
So the two options are you have the rookie Tyler Smith, who you drafted in the first round. He's been working out at left guard next to Tyron Smith, which I think is always a good thing when you can put your first round rookie next to the guy that you hope he replaces one day. So I wouldn't mess with Tyler Smith moving him to left tackle. The options that I've seen are move Zach Martin, who's played tackle before there in Dallas when Tyron Smith got hurt, move him back out, and they have some more depth at guard. So maybe you can slide, I think it's Connor McGovern, into the right guard spot. Or the other option I've seen floated around is the fact that Eric Fisher still sits out there, the left tackle from the Indianapolis Colts, who's a free agent. He has reportedly turned down offers from 9 teams because he's looking for the right fit. He's at the end of his career. He doesn't want to, you know, play for a bad team and put his body through that for nothing. He's trying to find that right fit. Do the Cowboys make sense in that sense? Because he's a guy that's played left tackle basically his entire career. He's a former number one pick, played in multiple systems. Could he be a guy you bring in and you have him until Tyron Smith is ready, or he's here for the whole year because Tyron Smith is not ready to play? Those are the two options.
And with the Chiefs, when Mahomes, when they're at their best, right, Segs? And what he finished, what was it, Indianapolis at 1.2 after that Super Bowl?
That's where he just was.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Was it Indy? Fisher? Yeah, exactly. And so here's how I feel, and I'll give you – I don't know what's going to happen. Put it this way. If you're the Cowboys even or Tampa, and if Eric Fisher wants to be on a good team, well, hell, those are two really good ones, maybe two of the top three or four in the NFC, right? So you'd think that – and you may have to overpay, so what? Brady's probably on his last year because we know what's waiting on him, and this is a monster year for Prescott and the Cowboys. But Segs, instead of me knowing where he's going to go, hell yeah, it's an option. If 9 teams have inquired, make it 10 or 11, right? You better make a phone call to him. But here's what happens. I'm thinking from a quarterback standpoint, if you take your left guard and keep him there, like you said, let's say they want that to be his natural position. Let's say that's what they decide in Dallas. And Martin can move out. You know, Sakes, he's got more Pro Bowls than holding penalties in his career.
Think about
that. He's like 7 Pro Bowls in 8 seasons, and he's got like 6 holding penalties in 8 seasons. It's stupid.
Yeah.
So we know what he can do. So let's say you move him out there. Two things you got to do is, will the center, because you know how that is now, people are in the gun and under center, can the backup center give you more than the backup left tackle if you got to play somebody on your team or if you got to go get somebody? That's one. And remember what quarterbacks like, Segs, and I know Brady. I know guys that don't move here. I love if it's Brady, but even with Dak Prescott, if you're a north and south climber, now east and west guy, escape guy, that people don't like players at their legs, right? So the question is, do you want to – it used to be secure the left tackle and it's good, but now these teams are smart. They move their best player away from their a tackle. You know what I'm saying? They game plan for that. So the right tackle is just as important whether you're a right-hander or a left-hander anyway. So I always want to sew it up inside out, yet – if you don't sew it up on the outside, we saw what happened to Kansas City with 2 injuries in the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay ran all over them, right? They were all over them on the defensive side of the ball. So you take that one and say, okay, am I going to sacrifice the interior at Dak's legs? Or if I go get Fisher and be able to keep him there, keep the left guard there, I sew it up. And then I got a guy experienced at the left tackle position who I think would be better And now I keep two great football players on the field, or at least a good one in Fisher and a great one in Martin. And I'm a little more solidified. If it was me, I'd go pay and get a guy who's been in the league at that position, keep the first round pick at the guard and not mess with the other side of the line. And let's go and keep Zach there. But if you feel like you're backup center, or you can take a guy and move him to center and Martin preserves what you need, then go for it. I'm a little more comfortable keeping my Pro Bowler there and going and getting a guy who is a high draft pick and has played in some high leverage moments as a tackle. Right. If he still wants to come play, I'd go there first.
Yeah. The good thing for the Cowboys is it does seem like they have some options, and it, you know, they still have a full preseason game. They have weeks before the season opener. So if they do decide to bring in Fisher, there's plenty of time to get him up to speed. He, like you said, he's a veteran that's been in multiple systems. He can pick this stuff up quick and he'll be fine in that system. And, you know, for a team that they have themselves a coach on the hot seat, in my opinion. And this is something I wanted to talk about next week, but we can talk about the Cowboys real quick. I'm blanking on his name. Why am I blank? McCarthy. He's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Going into this season for
big
sure.
Time.
Especially with Jerry as an owner.
One of the hottest in the league.
Exactly.
One of the hottest in the league. Because Sean Payton looms out there, Segs. He has a place in South Lake Carroll, Texas. And he looms as he's every year we talk. And also, so do both of the assistant coaches that are still there that people talk about having them on staff that they'd take over. It's a monster year for
–
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but for Mike.
No. Yeah, you hit it perfectly. So – this is a big year for the Cowboys. It's a big year for Dak, even though he got it. You know, he's been trying to take that next step every year. And it just, you know, injuries or, and remember, they also lost Amari Cooper on that offense. That's a big blow. That's your number one wide receiver. Now you expect CD Lamb to take that next step and become that monster that we all know he can be. And Michael Gallup coming off an injury. It's going to be interesting to see how that offense works.
Absolutely.
Speaking of CD Lamb, Michael Gallup, something I was thinking of, I was talking with some buddies the other day. Who is your, there's a lot of them. Who is your best wide receiver duo in the NFL? There's a lot of them. You think of, you know, you go to Miami with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. You look at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and they have Julio Jones, but I think Godwin and Evans are the duo there. You got Keenan Allen, Mike Williams with the Chargers. You got Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson with the Rams. DK Metcalf, Tyler. I mean, there's a ton in this league.
There sure is.
Is there one that stands out to you that you'd be like, that's who I want on my team? Those are the two guys I want.
A young one, if and when I get him back on the field, and don't get me started on making billions as a gambling NFL and suspending a guy for a full year for a $1,500 fantasy bet. You give me Ridley, Pitts, and what we think Drake London, you know, that one you say futures bet, right?
I
give them a quarterback. Atlanta may say, damn, we're looking pretty good down the road here. But say you mentioned them. And even if we go for the duo, now the duo may be different than the trifecta, right? And
right.
Like, for instance, we didn't even mention the Raiders. If you go, Hunter Renfrow caught 100 friggin' balls last year.
Yep.
And Davante Adams, who by most accounts is the best receiver in the league. You mentioned the other ones. What about Cincinnati and T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? What about when Thielen and Jefferson are going good and healthy, right?
There's so many.
Stephon Diggs. I mean, dude, the Buffalo's got a couple. I mean, it's stupid is what it is. Philadelphia now with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They're down.
That's
the
one
is,
I honestly put this on Twitter.
Sneaky.
That's the team that everybody kept saying because of the way they do things. Combined with each other, the fit together between the two of them is a lot of people were saying AJ Brown and Devonta Smith.
And I think, and you know, dude, I've been around you since Jalen Hurts was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I felt about his points. I think he's underrated. I do. He's never going to lead the league in passing, but I think with those weapons and the ability to get him on the edge and do some different things and those receivers, I know he's a winner. Now, can he carry you for 7 weeks, 8 weeks on his shoulders throwing it? No, but we're not in that league anymore, Segs. We're in that league that I like the guy who can buy time and create dual problems for defenses. So, and you add that group, I'm telling you, they're pretty friggin' good, man. They really are. So, and so when you look at that, I mean, Cincinnati's I love. I love you add Hill to that group, like you mentioned, and then you take out the Raiders group and the I mentioned the Cincinnati Bengals group, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers group, yep. when they're healthy. So I can go. I don't know if I could choose the. If you take Cincinnati and I take the Chargers, I think right. it's a hell of a battle, right? So it's the third one, right? Whoever that is, whether it's adding Waller to the list when he's healthy and with the Raiders, you add the third receiver. Who is it? Boyd in Cincinnati, say?
Yeah, Tyler Boyd. Yep.
Right. Then you start to add the third one in Miami, third receiver there. If you take a tight end, depending on who Cameron Bray, or let's not forget Segs, a sneaky one is, who's Julio Jones this year?
Right.
Is he closer to Atlanta, Julio Jones, or closer to Tennessee, Julio Jones? If he is, you're like, oh, okay, we got third guy. And don't forget, guy, you know, Justin Gage as the third one in Tampa. So the key is when the third one is, that's the elevation point, because, damn, you can get down to the ninth best wide receiver duo in the league, and you're like, that quarterback's throwing for 4,400 yards, right?
Right, right.
Then you start to say, okay, who gives me three? And then add one extra Mixon out of the backfield in Cincinnati. He's freakish yeah. talent, right? So now you start to get that. You're like, hell, I don't know. San Francisco with Kittle and with Brandon Ayuk and with Deebo Samuel, they're a bitch to have to deal yep. with. So I don't know who I'd take as the duo. But Cincinnati's at the top up there. And I got to add the quarterback who, if you're an eight receiver group and you get a Burrow or a Brady that turns you into a 10, well, God bless you. So I know your Chicago Bears would like to have a couple of them, Segs. And
I'd like to just have one guy that is maybe, you know, maybe. I mean, right. I think Darnell Mooney could be a good, really, really good.
Oh, I think he is going to be a good player. Right.
But they still need that one. A couple other tandems you look at that we didn't even mention. Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. Now they have Russ Wilson. Nope. What are they going
to
do?
And we're waiting for their next. Right. There's a next level to those guys.
Yes. Yes. And then you look at Hopkins and now Marquise Brown for Kyler Murray.
When Hopkins is back on the field, that's exactly
you talk about
right.
a tandem that works Saints. Well together.
What about the Saints? Jarvis yeah. Landry and Michael Thomas when yep. they're on the field together. And that's not just, that's just only two of them. And they've right. got Alvin right. Kamara, who's as good a catching guy out of the backfield as there is in a league.
It's
crazy,
just,
right?
Yeah, there's just right now, I don't know that, you know, the time when you played your era, that the era after, when it just comes to the pure weapons in the NFL, I don't think right now can't be beat just because we see so much more of it at a younger age. You know, we see, oh I was at my little nephew.
And we throw the ball more, Segs, so they get more reps. Yeah,
exactly.
At it, right? Throwing it all over the place.
Yeah, right? I was at my nephew's peewee football games, and I mean, there's quarterbacks dropping back at 10, and I mean, they're throwing 30 yards, and these kids are cutting. And it's crazy to see the difference the game was from even when I was little, where it was just you run every time, just up the middle, and hope you break free once. But it's
okay. Let me ask you this. Oh yeah, that 10 and dude, I was training a guy. I'm here in Houston. That was 7. Now he's 8. He's doing 3-step drops, going on the quick game. We're throwing slants, and I'm like, you're kidding,
okay. right?
I didn't say 7th or 8th grade. I said when I got him, he was 7 years old.
So, all right, so I'm gonna send one of my twins wants to be a quarterback, so I'm gonna send him down to you. He's 7.
And you get him.
He's ready.
And you get him for free, brother.
Awesome. So
I'm gonna give him for free.
It's NFL or bust for him. If he doesn't make it,
well,
I'm
if he loves
pissed.
It that much, he'll find. And if he's that, he doesn't even need to get the NFL. Just get the name, image, and likeness right. in college, and he's rich.
So hell no, soon. But by the time he's in high school, it's gonna be name, image, and likeness in high school. So just get rich then.
Yeah, they're not gonna order the pizza. They're not gonna order the pizza. They're gonna buy the pizza store right. that actually delivers the pizza. Let me ask you this. Okay, give me your and we'll do I'll give you again quickly. I'll do it after you, but running back, three wides and tight end, not on one team. Pick them across the league. If you're starting, who are your three at this at the age they're at right now? And it doesn't matter. And I'll give you any corner. Let's say I give you I'll give you Joe Burrow. Fair enough.
Okay.
Or Justin Herbert. Give me your three wides, your tight end, and your running back that if you can have anybody you want in a fantasy league, who is it?
Oh, I'm going, especially Burrow's my quarterback. Give me his two guys. Give me the two guys in Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase. I mean, two guys from LSU I'm talking about. You know, they were dynamite together. And Chase and Jefferson, to me, are easily the two best young wide receivers in football. I think we could be talking about them as the two best wide receivers in football after this season. And that's at their age of 22 and what, 23 or whatever it is. That's how good these guys are. And if you're looking for a third one, because, and what I like about those two is they do everything well. It's not like you're just a deep threat, or, you know, give Chase the ball at the line and just watch what he does. Jefferson's good, you know, in a crowded area amongst defenders. He'll catch anything. So if you're going to give me those two, I just want my straight line deep threat that is a monster, and give me DK Metcalf. You put those three together, I mean, with the size and the speed and everything, to me, that's what I would love with Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow is another guy. He can layer it so well. He can throw the deep ball. He gets it out quick. He can do everything. And then running back, such a tough.
Yeah, you know, I know where I'm going with this, but I'll wait to you. And when you hear my lineup, I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, I'm going to go off the radar, I think, a little bit, because he does everything so well. He runs the ball, he catches the ball, and he'll stick in there and block. That's Austin Eckler from the Chargers. I think just the way
underrated choice.
Yes, the way he does everything, I think. And I'm looking at this as, you know, we're probably going to run or pass the ball a lot with those three wide receivers. He's not going to be a guy that gets his, you know, panties in a bunch like I think some of these other diva-ish running backs would. So I really like his game and the way he does everything. So I would take Austin Eckler, unless there's just someone I'm blatant. I do have one, actually. I think I probably would take over him, but I'll let you say. And then if you don't choose him, I'll tell you.
And who's your tight end?
Who's your tight end?
You get a tight end. Three wide receivers. So you're going Jefferson. You're going Chase Jefferson. Metcalf and Eckler. Who's your tight end in the three wide receiver set?
Tight end. Oof. See, here it comes between, do I want someone that can block, or do I just want another guy that's running routes and just going to beat everybody? And it, to me, it's between two
guys. That's why I asked.
I love Travis Kelce. I, you know, he's just a gamer, but to me right now, I would not pick him. You know what? I'm going to go with the guy who's running the routes, because this is fantasy football, Madden. I'm just five wide. Let's go. Give me Kyle Pitts out of Atlanta.
Okay. I want to put him at wide receiver. Yeah. Okay.
See, that's why I like it, because I can split him out and I have no problem.
I love your team. And if I'm saying over the next 6 to 8 years, I you're not getting any argument from me. And I can plug in Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Christian McCaffrey.
There's a lot of ways. Yeah.
Right. And your tight end is stupid good, because if I want to play four wides, I can flex him out. I'm going to go say, so if that's long, I have no problem. And somebody's going to get pissed because we leave him out, right? Not at us, but you know, you're thinking, how am I leaving this cat?
Yeah.
So I'm going to think in a shorter term situation that I got to line up in a playoff game, fair enough, and beat you. So we got Burrow as our quarterback. I'm going to start with my running back first, and I'm going to tell you, and then I'll expand out.
So I'm going to see if you're going to tell the other one that I was going to say that I thought of after.
Now, listen, I love me McCaffrey. I love me that. But with the weapons I have at wide receiver, I need great play action threat and a guy who's still got wiggle. But if I got to wear a game out, that I can do it if I have to. I'm still taking the dude in Tennessee, man. And I love Taylor. I got to go Derrick Henry. Here's why, Sigs. He doesn't seem to wear out. He seems to get – well, not seems to. You watch his and his fourth quarter. His fourth quarters are kicking – I mean, he kicks your ass.
And not only that, the first quarter of the season to the fourth quarter of the season, he's better later. Yeah.
That's exactly right. So I need that guy that if I want to throw 30 times – I can run at 35 and we win. If he wants to thump you from the backfield at about 260, because he ain't 225, that's bullshit. Right. You and I both know it. And he's an outside linebacker playing running back. And if I got to kill the clock, but if I also, even I can set, he's not the fastest, but I can set him, I can set him up in a screen game or do it. I really don't need, he's a luxury now. And I know that I can wear out a game in weather, right? And here's why I'm going with my next guy, tight end. I'm going to take George Kittle.
Yeah,
because
that was my other guy.
Yes, Kittle can still catch 85, 90 balls. And of all those guys we just talked about, he is the very best blocking tight end of all of them. And so, but listen, you want to shift Kittle for Kelce? I'm in, because my tight end will catch 130 balls if it's Kelce too, because I love him. But I'm going with, if I was just all pass all the time, I'm with you. Kelsey's got to be the guy, right? But if
I went Pitts, remember.
Oh, that's right. You went, no, I'm talking
I
about,
went youth,
you mentioned
but...
how Kelce, if you're just going to throw it every down, right?
Yeah.
But a Kelce, and over the longer period of time, because their age of body, Pitts is the guy. You and I both know what a freak he is. And Waller, when he's right, is a freak too, but I'd go Pitts. But for me, I know Kittle, and then it's, again, sets up play action, get him out beyond the linebacker. So I'm going a different approach and let Burrow give me some Peyton Manning, Tannehill play action. Let's go. And then on the edge, dude, I'm going to go Chase for sure. It came down to me, Jefferson or Devontae Adams. I think right now, over 1 or 2 years, Devontae Adams may still be the best. But if it's an extended amount of time, I got to have Jefferson as well. I do. But you can give me one. And then I came down to, and you made a frigging great point about your third guy, Metcalf. And I'm going to take Kupp just because I love everything he does as well. And it's hard for me to pass on the Triple Crown winner in the NFL right now. And I just think he's so precise and dynamic. Put it this way, we line up, that's going to be one hell of a competition with our groups, right? So I went at it a little different, but I can win with both our teams.
It's funny because, like, you say yours and I say mine, and it's clear, like, we kind of came at it a different way in terms of you were looking at it like more this year, next year, and the year after, maybe like the next. And I was thinking more long term, because the other running back I thought of after I said Austin Ekeler, and a guy who I love his game because he does a little bit of everything, that's Najee Harris in Pittsburgh. I think
you got, for the next 7 or 8 years, he's got a mix of the nastiness of Henry.
Yes.
And he also can get on the edge and play. I think he's I don't take picks in the first round with running backs.
Right.
I get why you took him after the later in the first round. I think he's a great player.
Yeah. Because, and I think he surprised a lot of people, including analysts, of how good his pass catching was. I mean, we saw it some in Alabama, but, you know, unless they had like a TJ Yeldon type back there, they didn't throw the ball to the backs a lot. It was more, you know, you're getting it out to all these weapons they've had over the years. And, you know, Big Ben used him a lot last year because we all knew Big Ben was at the end. He couldn't throw the ball far. And
I'm not sure that he's not their best offensive player right now, Siggs. Honest to God. And I have no disrespect to Claypool or anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that your best player on your offense is not obviously TJ Watt on defense.
Right.
I believe that Najee Harris, if he ain't now, come see me in about a year or two. I love his game, and I did it at Alabama, and I love his versatility, and he's tough as hell too.
You want to talk about an offense that's filled with weapons. They got Freiermuth, the big tight end. They got, you mentioned Claypool. They got Deontay Johnson. They picked up George Pickens in the draft. They picked up
Pickens could be the rookie of the year. Pickens is an underrated player, dude.
You can ask
when I say
buddies,
underrated, he doesn't get the hype as the rest of them,
man,
right?
You can ask all my buddies. I was praying for Pickens in the draft for the Bears. He was there both times, and it just didn't work out. They didn't pick him, and I have a Pittsburgh feeling I'm going to be really pissed. But again, all those weapons, Najee Harris, and they have Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. And we're going to wait to see. I'm waiting to hold off on Kenny Pickett. He's looked good, so I want to wait and see what he does if he wins the job. So I'm not writing him off yet, but those are the type of weapons
no excuse not to be good. Yeah, there's no excuse not to be good offensively because, you know, like I said, I love Najee Harris, but you're right. Now, while we're watching Pickens, if Pickens pans out like you and I think he is, we're talking about a superstar.
Yes.
He's that talented. You know, at the tight end position, the receivers that are on the rise, and Claypool's put up some good numbers already, and we know when he's right, he's a good, confident player. And Notre Dame played a high octane publicity team in college and has done a great job. His rookie year, he was fantastic.
Pittsburgh
too, right? So I'm with you, man. That's a sneaky weapons team on offense.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it really is. So we'll see.
So this isn't like a Zach Wilson, Justin Fields type situation. Hell, even Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, where Kenny Pickett has the weapons. He has the offense. He has everything around him to be good. Yep. Now he just has to do it. He has to show that he is that guy. And then real quick, got a few minutes left here. We've got West Virginia at Pitt tonight. You're two of your alma mater quarterbacks.
Is that tonight or is that tonight or Saturday, Sakes?
The date today?
Yes, the holidays crushed me.
Yeah, see, I got to look it up week now because you might be right. And I was hoping it was tonight.
Yeah, me too. I was too. Now, I got my guy from one of the Woodlands and North Shore here, which is one of my quarterbacks who's one of the top five players at his position in the country. And he's going to be a junior, and they're playing on TV here locally, North Shore and Woodlands. Segs, I'm with you. I got so caught up into
That's next week. That's next Thursday.
It's a week for you're to the West Virginia. The West Virginia Pitt game is the first, which is Thursday, right?
Yes.
Next Thursday. The Nebraska and Northwestern game, and the start is this Saturday. Herb Street and those guys, College Game Day is at the Backstreet Brawl. I did the same thing you did all week last week, like you just said.
Yep.
I woke up yesterday thinking, you know what? I can't wait till tomorrow night. And I'm on the 24th and the 25th as opposed to the first. Every single year, this Labor Day weekend, first week, destroys me. Yeah. And so, until Wednesday, I was thinking the same thing, that we got game tonight, and we don't.
For some reason, I don't know why the ESPN app has the Northwestern game listed after the West Virginia-Pittsburgh game. So that's why I was just thinking it was Thursday, because I saw Thursday for it. Stupid college football.
When I initially saw the schedule on too, like I'll go on to it. It for me, it had, I was thinking that there was like 8-10 games tonight.
Right.
And a couple more tomorrow. And then I'm thinking, well, that's next week. And the Labor Day weekend always gets me on that. And this really got me because I saw it just like you did. And right when you said it, I thought, damn, did I miss this again? Do we really have Pitt West Virginia tonight? Where Keaton Slovis was just announced the quarterback. Yep. So I was thinking it until Wednesday morning, even on our Tuesday thing. I know we didn't talk about that game, but we knew it was coming. I had West Virginia and Pitt playing tonight, and I'm only a week early. You think I'm excited, like a little a little premature in my want for college football? It's crazy.
And then them naming Slovis the quarterback got me even more because I'm thinking like, of, that's when you announce your starter, kind of hold that team off until the very last second. So
how's that for a Thursday buzzkill for
you, that's
brother?
A kick I'm in with the nuts. You. I'm freaking over this baseball season. I can't watch this shit anymore. So I'm just waiting for it. You know what the problem is? I think it feels like NFL training camp is starting earlier and earlier and earlier every single year. So it takes forever to get to real football. And it's just like, it feels like we've been in training camp for 2 months. Like I'm sick of reading.
We still have 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
We're still 2.5 weeks away from that thing start.
I'm sick of reading every day like, oh, this guy practiced or this guy didn't practice. Everybody loses their shit because, oh, my God, he didn't practice today or yesterday. And what are we going to do? The season's over. And it's just like, holy cow. And like you said, we still have 2.5 weeks. This is ridiculous.
That's exactly right. So I'm with you saying I was on the exact page you were. And I found yesterday morning after I got up to go to my morning drive show, I'm like, Why does this date look different to me now? I thought tomorrow night was going to meaning tonight was going to be the night, and I'll be damned if I don't have to wait another week for that.
Because you know who really wants to watch Northwestern and Nebraska? I mean,
well, Segs, at that point in time, guess what?
Everybody will
miles over broken glass for Slippery Rock versus Bowling Green. I don't care.
Yeah, it's going to have 10 million viewers, and it's in Ireland to make it interesting. Yep. I guess. Yep. I mean, but you want to talk about a guy in the hot seat? Scott Frost. Hey, do something,
sir.
Talked all this shit when he got there, and he hasn't done anything.
And that's his alma mater. Yep. That's right. And you know what's interesting, Sigs, is my guy who Charles Thompson. You know, he used to play at Oklahoma. I coached camps with him and his son Casey Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Charles went to OU, and then Casey was the guy at Texas. And then when they got Ewers, Casey, you know, as a grad transfer and a hardcore student of the game, he's got Mark Whipple, who coached Kenny Pickett last year in Pitt. Now at Nebraska. So Scott Frost realizes things are a chain. We got to throw the ball a lot. We got to do it efficiently. And Casey will prepare. But you are exactly right. There, if you're talking about Power Five schools, hot. You mentioned Mike McCarthy in the NFL. for a guy who's alma mater and he's a everybody loves Scott Frost there. Go ahead and win six games this year, and unfortunately, Scott will be looking for another gig. You're exactly right. Now, Pat Fitzgerald, on the other hand, will be coaching at Northwestern until he's 90.
Yeah, until he wants. Until he wants to.
Pat ain't. That's exactly
he
right.
Ain't
so
leaving. It don't matter what they do there.
It does not matter. And you know what they'll do? They're going to beat somebody they're not supposed to beat
every year.
They're going to play in a lot of ugly games and win in a rain or a snowstorm, 13-10 in a game. You know how that goes. That's the way it's going to be with them.
All right. Well, we kind of preview next week. We'll talk about the NFL hot seat coaches and we'll do college because there's plenty of guys that could be out looking for a job. And it's kind of weird. We think we always see these up and coming names that are going to be head coaches at big schools soon. You mentioned a guy I was thinking about today, Graham Harrell. Remember me and you, we always talked about him being the next guy and it just never happened for him. And he's still got plenty of time. He's still young.
With SC's physicality. SC wasn't very physical, and it cost him.
Right.
In truth, it cost him his job.
Yep. Because
they still put up pretty good numbers.
Oh,
they
for sure.
So
and next week,
I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I want to ask you next time, too, that having Herb Street on, and you heard the interview I had with him this morning, and I'm with him on this one, and we've talked about sneaky team. I mentioned Baylor. The winner of the Big 12 is going to have an excellent chance if they win a lot to get to the playoff this year, right? And he mentioned he loves Baylor.
Yeah.
And he mentioned – he talked about Utah, and he said, to validate what we were saying, he was talking about the quarterback at Baylor, at Utah. And you know what he said that Kyle Whittingham told him? He said he is the toughest quarterback, competitive, that he's ever coached.
Yeah, and didn't he say he's the best leader as well?
He said best leader is what Herb Street said. You're right. And I mentioned toughness to him. He said, yes, and that's a Kyle Whittingham staple.
Oh, for sure.
He's the best. Now, think about who Whittingham played. Now, if he's throwing Jim McMahon in there and that group, because Kyle was a teammate of those guys, and I know what kind of leader, as do Bears fans, Jimmy was, right? So, and Mac was. So I'm anxious to see two of those sneaky teams we talked about that have a chance at the playoffs. So we got to preview that, and we'll have to get all our Heisman picks and all that in next week.
I have that written down for next week as well. We'll give our final four who we think will be in the college football playoff or Heisman. Maybe we'll give some finalists plus who will win. And then we'll start breaking down games because it's time.
Your team's the first team ever as we go. Your team at Michigan is the first time I can ever remember. I hate two quarterback systems. This is the first team maybe in the history of my football play. Because normally if you got two, you ain't got one. But that's it's a unique, weird situation. I think they're really dangerous because we know they're talented, but this is the first time I actually put my all thumbs up this one. Now, I don't know if it's going to end up being one by the time the season's over, but this is the one time a two quarterback system could be in a position like last year to win a national title. So we'll see. We'll get all that next week.
Yep. All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show on the Believe Network. Talk to you next week.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.